B-Pod Studios.
Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
The sports show radio host.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Coming right after Moreland, isn't he, with that batch ball?
Pointing at something. I don't know what's going on.
Pointing out toward right field, toward the, I think, the Sox bullpen. Maybe someone with a sign and a sight line. It's actually a drone up there.
Yeah, it's been up there all night.
Yeah.
Good job, Jim. Last night there was a drone over Fenway Park. And you're not supposed to have a drone over Fenway Park. In fact, FAA rules say no drones within, I think, 3 miles was the
dumb rule. Watch a game from up there.
Drone flying over Fenway Park.
Be a nice view. Man, it'd be a pretty view. Fenway Park at night. Oh, my God.
Do you know anybody that has a high-tech drone?
No.
As the one that was at the game.
No, I don't.
I got a buddy that's in the oil company, and they go out and survey land. Like, out in the woods, stuff, like, you can't really get to. And
okay.
He has learned to fly. He has this drone. It's like $4,000. And he goes, you don't think I fly this drone? He brings it over our house. He goes, go open your front door. So I said, open my front door. He goes and stands out on the road, puts his phone, snaps right into the controller. Watch this. Drone starts here. He lets it go. Starts going right in my front door, up the steps. He goes, here, where's your bedroom? In the back, goes to the bedroom. Goes in the middle of the bedroom, turns around, comes out, comes down, holds his hand up, right back to it. When you have a guy who can operate a drone, these things can do amazing things.
Well, you know, they got the drone competitions now. They have, you know, that fly through, you know, have drone races.
That's scary.
What's scary?
The amount of rotations on these the fan blades, cut your head off. They get near you.
I don't think it's much of a spectator sport other than the television cameras. You know, you don't.
Yeah. My buddy that did that, he ended up having an accident, got hit, and almost cut right through his neck. Yeah.
So the Red Sox, Boston Police, and the FAA now all investigating the drone over Fenway Park last night.
Unidentified.
The rule is 3 miles within a 3 mile radius of the stadium.
Oh, that's far.
That is 1 hour before and 1 hour after the game is the window.
It's
so
like it's like a parking window. It's for those spots on Brookline Ave.
Right. So 3 mile nautical radius, nautical miles.
That's
outside the stadium of any major league stadium. I believe the same is true of NFL stadiums. Within 1 hour before, 1 hour after, you cannot fly your drone near those places.
But I'm sure it happens all the time because 3 miles is a pretty big.
It's huge.
That's a pretty big circle you're drawing there. You just can't take your drone up over the stadium, which I think is a good rule. I don't care about anybody in their drones, quite frankly. They're useful if you're using it for, you know, looking at oil
fields. They're very useful.
Hardy, you can't fly these.
The company that makes the drone said whoever flew it over Fenway Park last night overrode their geofencing system.
Ooh.
That is built into the drone.
Ooh. Oh, man.
So they have got a system in place in the software for the drone that has a geofencing, and they say whoever did it overrode that system to be able to fly the drone over the park when they did.
So they got some wacko smart drone.
That's why they should be charged.
Yeah, don't you find this drone stuff to be creepy as hell?
Yes.
I don't think it's creepy.
That's weird.
It's
people in your toys.
That's
your stupid drones.
But that's a legit public safety issue. You can't fly something up and over the walls of a stadium and get it down in there. So, no, that's a good rule. I think the 3 mile thing is a little ridiculous.
We should get a drone.
I mean, seriously, how many? It must happen all the time that people.
Imagine being in Cambridge.
But you saw it last night. Whoever did it was deliberate.
They were trying to get it up and over Fenway Park.
Yeah. So the civil penalties federally are up to $32,000, criminal fines up to $250,000, and or imprisonment up to 3 years.
That's a little much.
Those are the possible penalties and fines for doing this.
Pay the fine, move on.
You know what it is? I just think that I saw it last night, and at this time of year, for obvious reasons. Just sort of that heightened sense of security. Like, what is this? Who's doing this? Why are they doing this?
Yeah.
It's probably nothing. It's probably someone just screwing around with their stupid toys. But it's still weird.
So many smart
kids. I still don't like it.
These smart kids over at MIT or over at Harvard.
And,
it went out of the river,
like,
right?
I'm glad the police take it seriously and they're going to try and find this person.
Yeah.
Like, that makes me feel safer for some weird reason, even though it's a little, you know, flying plane.
I don't know that anybody likes to see drones. Yeah, have you ever take your kids to the park, Beetle, and you're out there and you hear this, and there's like a drone up over the soccer field or something? Why don't you put that thing away, jackass? No, I don't want that stuff. And I turned into crazy old man once when somebody was flying one up over my house, and I go back inside the house. I'm like, get the Red Rider. I'm going to take that thing down. Turned out it was my neighbor, and it was, you know.
Know what you need?
Fine, but.
Fireworks.
No, get that thing the hell out of here.
Fireworks. Send up a couple of those things at that bad boy. See what happens.
No, I can't. Give me the Red Rider. I'm a Deadeye.
Shoot him down?
Yeah.
And just bottle rockets?
Yeah. Get him a mortar one. Put the mortar one up there.
Mini war?
Yeah, we'll start something. We'll start something. I got firepower.
I wonder if a Roman candle would do it.
Nope. Roman candle, you just hold them.
By your potato gun.
Well, how are you going to aim a bottle rocket?
Yes, potato gun will work.
How are you going to aim a potato gun?
You have to do it. Make sure it's long tube PVC.
Yeah, you get the long enough tube on a potato gun.
You
really?
You scored a ton of hairspray.
You're going to hit
potato
something
missile?
300 feet in the air?
It'll go, dude. It'll go. We used to shoot cows from about 100 yards. Yeah.
That's a cow.
But it's sort of a bigger feet.
Target.
Stationary.
Same thing. I don't know.
Bigger.
We could try it.
You want to shoot at something the size of a basketball or something the size of a cow?
I think we should have the Zolak and Bertrand Hardy potato gun. I'm going to make one and bring it in.
No, you are not.
Why?
That robot basketball player you tweeted about yesterday, Beetle.
Mm. What about him?
He's load that thing up. Player. Hit the drone.
I bet he could. Give him one shot. He'll drill it.
Good form.
Quit playing with your stupid drones.
Play with your toys. Grow
freaking
up,
children.
No kidding.
Well, I'm gonna override this geofencing and get it over Fenway. That's what we're doing.
Smart kid from Harvard.
For what? Yeah. I don't know.
We're doing this as a protective custody experiment.
These things are creepy to begin with.
Yeah.
And then they are a legitimate security concern that, you know, the FAA and the police are now on your ass, and I hope they find you.
You know, like good use of a drone I've ever seen? It's actually, coincidentally, as we're in Masters Week here, golf courses. They take you on the fly over the course so you can see the hole. And Kevin used to use one in Golfing the World, too. He uses one now. Takes it over the course. Beautiful golf course shot. You're not messing with anybody on a golf course. It's fine. They do it when there's no one out there. Give it a flyover from the hole. Get us, you know, the bird's eye view, drone's eye view. Beetle.
No, there are legitimate uses for it that I think are really cool.
Roofers.
Tuna fishing.
Roofers use them. You go up there and say, I'll see what's going on in your roof.
Newpro did it. Newpro came out to with the drone, went all around my house.
Yeah.
Piece by piece.
Shark sightings.
Shark sightings. Very good, Jim. Useful things for drones.
Yeah, there are useful things. Flying over Fenway Park just to be a nerd? No, not useful. Paul's in Braintree. He claims he knows the guy who had the drone.
Jesus.
Hey, what's up, Zoe?
Hi, Paul.
Hey, what's going on? I don't know if you remember me on the opening day and I shook your hand walking up with my sausage cat.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So here's this kid, right? He comes to me after the game and he's like, he goes, wait till tomorrow. He goes, wait till the next game. He goes, I'm going to fly a drone over Fenway Park. It was a seedy looking bearded clown.
Typical.
And he had all this like, apparatus strapped to his chest underneath his jacket. And
that's a battery pack.
That doesn't sound right.
I think he wanted a plug for his sausage cart.
Yeah.
Well, you should contact the authorities. How about that? You can identify the man. I don't want to be a rat.
He had a bunch of road flares strapped to
just good sausages.
Okay. 617-779-0985.
Was it Remy on the broadcast we just listened to on the sound coming back?
It's like, a drone.
It's been up there all night. It's like, you should have mentioned it, Rem Dog. It would have been useful information.
Yeah. Meanwhile.
It's actually a drone up there.
Yeah, it's been up there all night.
Yeah.
Yeah, way to see something. Say something, Remy.
Somebody. Didn't the story say it was up there early in the game, and then it left, and then it was back later in the game?
That is creepy. That's like you saw it, but it's like a ghost.
So maybe Remy did see it early in the game, but it actually wasn't there the whole game.
So it was over right field.
When they showed it on TV, it was.
Was it above
Moreland's at bat?
Was it above the crowd though? In
like in over the edge of the stadium.
Now we know that Remy's tough. That guy that would never report the unattended bag at the airport. Yeah, that bag's been there all day.
Yeah. Hey, my bag.
It's ticking.
It's like the sign says, see something, keep your mouth shut.
Yeah. Don't be a rat.
Don't be a rat. Yeah.
Gosh, it's been up there all night.
Yeah. Okay, Rem. Michael's in Merrimack. He had some Bruins thoughts from earlier. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, I'm just calling in. I know the Bruins didn't do too good last night, but just wondering your thoughts. I know you guys said earlier in the show Chara hasn't really been on his game lately. He's been a little behind. I don't know. In my opinion, seems a little bit slower over the years. Just wondering what your thoughts were on them re-signing them for next year.
See, I don't mind them re-signing him. I actually think it's a great deal that they're bringing him back. It's just that you can't consider him really a top-pairing, second-pairing type of guy. You've got to just think of him in a different frame, right? You've got to sort of recalibrate where you slot him in on your team.
Yeah.
That's what you need to do. That's how you need to approach it. In fact, the money's going down to nothing. And so it's not like he's taking up a lot of money, but if you have Zdeno Chara as a depth guy defensively, then he's fine. It's not like he can't play at all anymore, but I did think that he looked a little slow last night. He looked a little unprepared for the speed of the game.
And it's all of them, not just him. They all got smoked. And you even got the head coach saying Pasternak didn't have his legs. How does Pasternak not have his legs? Yeah, talking to Jaffe yesterday, like three people there on ice. This team was rested. Yeah, they rested people, and they approach the end of the season the right way, saying, come out fresh.
That should change
for Saturday.
That interference penalty last night, which I think is a result of just, tired. Being a little loose with the puck and having to keep your head up and worry about the speed of the other guys on the ice. I think it's all sort of related. Chris is in Lowell. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, what's up, Sal?
What's up?
Hey, everybody, we're just coming off, you know, a World Series championship season, one of the best records in baseball, and everybody's sounding the fire alarms. You know what I mean? It's like, can we all just settle down, you know? Put the crack pipe down and step away from the playground. Come on.
Yeah. Okay. All right. I don't think anyone's sounding any alarms. Got to start winning games, and last night they won a game. Good for them.
I apologize, Chris. That was Chris, right? They have looked really, really good, like all of them. You know, the fielding, the drop balls. They had the base running, being thrown out. Starters look real good coming out of the gate. You know, I'm the one that said give them three times through. Well, we're there now. We're three times through the rotation, so it's time to be critical. But before that, they've looked great. Hey, congratulations, world champs. World champs! Like, when's that end?
We'll talk to Sean Grandy, voice of the Boston Celtics. He'll join us on the line next.
Now. Sports Talk. While you're on the clock, this is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Coming right after Marlon, is he, with that bounce ball?
Without Zolak and Bertrand, your workday is just pushing papers and eating lunch.
What's up?
With Zolak and Bertrand, it's pushing papers, eating lunch, and talking sports.
Yeah, whatever.
Way better. Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Well, I like to use the word resolve because I feel like our team has lacked that through times this year. Like when things haven't gone as well, I see our body language giving in, and I feel like our team hasn't been that way. That hasn't been a characteristic of our team and over the last 5 years under Brad's leadership. And so I think that the playoffs can bring that back. And I've seen a lot of good things. I mean, so I don't believe that there's a switch that you just turn on and all of a sudden we're going to play better and we're going to play harder. But I do believe that this new season can bring a greater level of resolve and our crowds and, you know, one another. I feel this team has grown through the adversity of this year. And I think that that's just a really important element is that resolve, and because there's going to be ups and downs throughout the playoffs.
Danny Ainge speaking yesterday jokingly started his press conference by saying, I'm here to tell you all that I'm resigning. Taking a little dig there at Magic. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline. You welcome in the voice of the Celtics, preparing for another playoff run. It's Sean Grandy. Hey, Sean.
What's up, man?
So he described the team sort of building this level of resolve over the course of the year. I disagree with him on that. I'm curious to know what you think, if there's any more level of, you know, fight or, you know, rallying from this team than what it's been all year long.
Well, I'll give you a reverse of that. I remember Doc Rivers really being concerned going into the playoffs in 08 because that team had not been through anything. They had not been through any adversity. That team rolled through the regular season like very few have in the history of the game. And they hadn't had to deal with adversity. And all of a sudden they found themselves, you know, everything was just going swimmingly in that first round. And they lose this lead and games looked like they were going to wrap it up easy and go up 3-1. They lose this lead in game four. And all of a sudden they're in the quietest experience I think I've had in 21 years in a league was the plane ride back from Atlanta after the series was tied 3-3, and all of a sudden you were faced with this calamity. Like, history, Celtics history completely changes if they lose that seventh game, obviously, in 2008 to Atlanta. But I remember him being concerned in advance of it that there hadn't been any adversity to go through, and you don't know, you know, what it's going to be like until you've been through it. And I think here we are on the verge of game one of the playoffs, and we really don't know the potential for both things. The potential for this not going well is there because we've seen it, but we've also seen the potential for this being what we thought it could be. So I don't ever remember going in with more uncertainty about a playoff run or not than this one.
I'm not sure whether you called the game or Wallach did, but the Marcus Smart game when he got hurt, you called that game, right?
Yep.
You knowing him and the type of player is, you knew it was bad at first, right?
Yeah, you never know. I mean, you knew he was in a lot of pain. He was going to have to come out. But obviously, as you know, so the different pain and injury are completely different things. You don't know the degree to which it, you know, it was a legitimate injury to the point we didn't even know the next day. And, we're in Washington for 2 days later, 48 hours afterwards, at the shoot-around in the morning. And the feeling was it wasn't necessarily that bad. So it was a, you know, when you see Marcus Smart go back into a game, you just assume Marcus Smart's he's going to be fine because you wouldn't think anything other than Marcus Smart just going back into a game.
It is sort of suspicious, though. I mean, Brad downplayed it. Danny Ainge downplayed it. And then there are reports that he was in so much pain that he could barely get into the MRI.
Maybe they got a bad MRI or whatever machine they used to try and read it at first, and they had to really go back and get the real one and say, oh, wow, yeah, he definitely's got a tear here.
So how do they make up for his loss is really the most important thing.
It depends on the series. In this particular series, I think, listen, Marcus Smart at any point in a playoff series does something that changes the game. You know, it doesn't take long to catalog your mind to think of games that he has changed in playoff series by making a play that doesn't even show up in the box score. So there's an intangible thing that's gone. There are teams against whom he is more inherently valuable. You can think of where he's going to be. Can Jaylen Brown defend Bogdanovich at that same level? I think he probably can. I think, is this a series, you know, without, if Oladipo is here, this is a completely different conversation about the value of Marcus Smart in the first round of the playoffs. He's intrinsically, inherently, deeply valuable to this team. But can you survive Indiana without him? Probably. It's just a matter of, I think, Jaylen Brown's role getting bigger and changing a little bit defensively.
Does it seem like Hayward time now, too? Like, you know, not that we've talked to you, not that he's turned that corner, but he's doing more interviews than that, and his game looks good. I'm talking from a confidence standpoint and say, you know what, okay, now that's a guy that could even benefit from this, getting the looks and the shots.
Confidence in his body, which was a very significant thing early in the year. And then there was the second part, which is that as we were saying all along, people kept saying, hey, are you back? Are you back? He was never going to be, he's not playing the same part that he played for all those years in Utah. So, once he got the confidence in his body back, then it was sort of figuring out what he's going to be on this team. And that really was, as I was telling somebody about the Marcus Smart thing, like, you knew with this team it couldn't go perfectly. Everything wasn't going to completely fall into place. It just hasn't been that kind of year. But the Gordon Hayward season, when you step back at it and don't look at it game to game, but rather where he was in October and where he is now, that's one of those things that really could not have worked out better.
So what's the starting lineup look like without Marcus Smart?
I think Jaylen Brown goes into it. I think you keep Gordon Hayward coming off the bench. I think you keep Marcus Morris coming off the bench. I'm not a big fan of overemphasizing, obviously, the starting lineup. And if there's a coach in the NBA that come playoff time could throw you a curveball, it's been Brad Stevens. We've seen Gerald Green in the starting lineup in the playoffs. We've seen Semi Ojeleye in the starting lineup in the first round of the playoffs. You know, it's all about matchups. My guess is that the minutes probably, it's more about where the minutes go, obviously. But from a starting standpoint, I think that's where you go in game one. I'd also say that the starting lineup in game one may not be the same as it is in game four and five, because we've seen that a lot in the playoffs from Brad.
Do you like the 1 o'clock starts? I know you can't do anything about it, but I mean, it is what it is, the matchup. I'm kind of pissed off about it because I got two lacrosse games Sunday. Next week's Easter. You know what I mean? You guys got stuck in that 1 o'clock hole.
Are we talking about, there are certain players who play better and play differently in that situation. Marcus Morris, I know, is someone who commiserates with me that there's nothing he can't stand more than the 1 o'clock start. I've had a joke for years about how there are very few jobs in the world that start 7 hours earlier the next day. So it is, it's very unusual. I think it's basically like drug dealers, airline pilots, and us.
We have a degenerative a gambling producer who, during the NCAA tournament, looked at the schedules, looked at all the 7 p.m. starts, and on those first day games, bet the unders on all the first halves because you're not used to playing during the day. It's got to affect guys' clocks.
Well, it completely does, and we've seen unusual things about it. Particularly, there's a scenario, and I'll say this, and maybe we look back at it, and it's one of those things I say that turns out to be right.
So maybe a first-half under on Sunday is what we're looking at.
I'm thinking first-half under.
If you're, from the degenerative gambling standpoint, this is something you can't really bet on, but the Celtics got thrown into a situation 2 years ago where they beat Chicago on a Friday night on the road and went right into the next series, and they moved that up to play like a 1 o'clock game, I think, a game one against a new team 36 hours later. You had to jump into the next round of the playoffs. I, just stepping back looking at this, I think the Celtics and Milwaukee are pretty prohibitive favorites in these series. So I am expecting, if I think it's the smart money in your parlance, would be that series moves up. So to me, there's a scenario where the Celtics could have one of those. If this goes six, let's say they beat Indiana in six, you could win a game at Indiana on a late Friday night and have to go to Milwaukee and play like a noon game there on Sunday. So there's weird turnarounds you don't think of that can happen in the playoffs. But I think, the early games, I'll tell you where there are people who are relieved, because there was a lot of feeling that it might be a 5:30 game on Sunday, and there were a lot of golf fans who were deeply concerned about a 5:30 game on Sunday, because then they wouldn't be able to watch the end of the Masters, which is one of the great Celtic stories of the new Big Three era, which is a meaningless end of the regular season game in Miami that Doc Rivers desperately tried to get thrown out of by Tony Brothers in Miami because he wanted to watch the golf. He screamed all
the time. I vaguely remember this.
Things, and the referee just looking at him going, I know what you're trying to do. If I can't watch it, you can't watch it. And I think it was the Tiger year. I'm not sure if it was 2011 or whatever it was, but Doc wanted to go watch the golf and try to get kicked out of this meaningless game, and he would not be obliged.
All right. Well, Sean, appreciate the time as always.
Should be fun, gentlemen.
All right, we'll talk to you next week.
You got it.
All right, Sean Grandy joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
Who did he say he said that hated the day games? Was it Jaylen Brown?
Marcus Morris.
Marcus Morris. Oh, so what is his number? We got to look at his first half numbers.
Not a fan of the 1 o'clock start.
What if it's like 8 points? What if they project him to have 8 points over and under in the first half? Let's take the under on that.
If you can find that.
If you can find that player-specific prop, congratulations.
For round one of the World Series? No way.
I don't think that exists.
I'm not talking to you anyway.
Oh, God. All right. Hardy has our headlines. Get you caught up on things. Hardy, don't be afraid to slip a Frozen Four score in there. Got a complaint on email about that. Just so you know. Wallach had it in his headlines this morning.
I agree, too, because I don't know who won that first game. Did Providence win? No, they didn't. Minnesota Duluth?
No, they didn't.
I don't know.
Bump the updated Patriots story, Hardy, and throw that UMass score in there.
There's an updated Patriots story?
There's a Patriots former receiver that has signed somewhere.
Well, now I'm interested. Now I'm going to listen.
It's a pretty good pick.
Hardy has headlines.
It's a legitimate request.
With an updated Patriots story.
Zolak and Bertrand continues on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Those crazy nights I do remember in my youth. I do recall
617-779-0985. Phone lines are open. You want to grab one? Good time to do it.
You know what?
What?
The Bruins win in five. I'll eat a double cheeseburger. What will you eat? What about big UMass championship donut from the Frozen Four?
I'm not engaging. I'm not engaging.
I don't blame you.
Let's make some bets.
Not going to do it.
Let's do some hokey bets.
Jim, can we hear Danny Ainge again that we played for Sean Graney at the start of last segment? Danny Ainge speaking yesterday ahead of the playoffs for the Celtics. That gets going this weekend. Mm. Playoff season has arrived here in Boston. Let's hear this one more time from Danny Ainge.
Well, I like to use the word resolve because I feel like our team has lacked that through times this year. Like when things haven't gone as well, I see our body language giving in, and I feel like our team hasn't been that way. That hasn't been a characteristic of our team, and over the last 5 years under Brad's leadership, and so I think that the playoffs can bring that back. And I've seen a lot of good things. I mean, so I don't believe that there's a switch that you just turn on and all of a sudden we're going to play better and we're going to play harder. But I do believe that this new season can bring a greater level of resolve and our crowds and, you know, one another. I feel this team has grown through the adversity of this year. And I think that that's just a really important element, is that resolve, and because there's going to be ups and downs throughout the playoffs.
You know, in listening to that again, I don't know that he's saying there will be resolve or there has been resolve. He's saying there can be resolve.
He's saying there can be. And this is as simple to break it down as this, because he said, obviously, you don't. And Danny's been on, you know, for the last several weeks talking about a switch. Can you flip that switch? Are you anxious? No, I don't. I truly don't believe you have a switch that you can flip. But if you have a resolve, he's telling you that I think our elite players can elevate in the playoffs and then carry him. To what you're saying, it's Kyrie. It's Al. It's Hayward. Everybody else has to fall in line. Those guys go out and do their jobs. You should win that first series easily. Irving, Hayward, and Horford go out there and play well together and talk and communicate, play good defense, take good shots, you know, figure out a way to get open looks for Tatum and Brown and that. They should be fine. Like Danny's talking about, our elite people need to carry us. That's resolve.
I think he's saying the only hope for them to do something in the playoffs is to get the resolve. Is that the chance that when the playoffs start, it comes back somehow. Because of the playoffs and the scenarios involving the playoffs, that will get their resolve back. And that's the only thing that will get the resolve back.
Yeah, I would also say that this team that he's looking at and watching is not really the same team that it was last year at this time. And a lot of the same guys are here, but it's not exactly the same team. It's not constructed the same way. The lineups are not the same. In fact, you've got two star players that are in the lineup this time that you didn't have a year ago in Kyrie and Hayward. And by the way, Hayward should be the guy in the lineup. If we're talking about it, if we care about that, I know the coach doesn't care all that much. As he told us yesterday, Sean Grandy certainly doesn't care all that much. Hayward has earned it.
Should be Hayward.
He has. He's played well recently. And you know what? If you could get a boost out of him mentally, more so than what he's already done as of late, then you do it.
You say Smart's not going to be there for 4 to 5 weeks potentially. Who's going to get the more looks and direct consequence to that? It's going to be Hayward.
Yeah, Hayward's the guy.
Hayward's the answer.
I think Brown should be in there, because just to defend Bogdanovich in this series, maybe it's different in the next series, but just for defense in this series against Bogdanovich, you need a guy. Do you want Hayward wasting all his energy on defense at the beginning of the game, or do you want him to come into the game and be that scoring punch?
That's a good point. But I think you're going to get better play out of Hayward by putting him into the starting lineup.
I think he plays more minutes, but I don't know if he necessarily has to start.
Well, that's what I would do.
And Hayward, you know, can be an adult off the bench. Can Jaylen Brown take that and be like, I'm still on the bench after all this?
Oh, man, that is not the way you should be making decisions on this team, though.
Oh, but I think you can build his confidence. But I think you can build Jaylen Brown's confidence by putting him in the starting lineup.
One of these young kids is going to cry about it, so we got to placate to him and put him in. No, bull crap.
No, but think of it the other way. The build of confidence by putting him in the starting lineup. He's like, all right, Hayward's on the bench. I'm in the lineup. And it gives him a little bit of an ego boost.
I don't think he's a guy that lacks confidence, so I'm not all that concerned about that. But for this series, it's not going to be the same as it looked a year ago. It's not the same group. It's a little bit different. The lineups look different. The young kids are not going to control this. They're not going to be the ones that are looked to really provide everything in this series. So the dynamic has changed a little bit. And this current group, as it stands, hasn't been a group with a ton of resolve this year. I find it interesting that Danny Ainge reads the body language, though. Pretty much insinuating, I've seen that body language and I've seen guys quit. I've seen guys give up.
He said it's never happened under Brad Stevens. It's the first time it's happened under him.
And that is a change. We didn't see that a year ago in the regular season. So I guess he's optimistic and he's hoping and he thinks that things could be different because the playoffs are here. I hope he's right. I hope the optimism is worth it for this team. I mean, we're talking about a team that is always optimistic about everything. Everything is optimism, as displayed by the Marcus Smart injury over the last week. Oh, it's day to day. Oh, we got to get him out. Oh, he's feeling better. What? Now he's out 4 to 6 weeks. And it sounds like he was never feeling better and was dealing with a lot of pain. And so I hope Danny Ainge is right, but I'm sort of skeptical. I'm skeptical because it's always an optimistic, rosy outlook with this team. Mm-hmm. And the resolve that he's talking about, we've never seen with this group the way it's put together right now. We just haven't.
The fans, too. The fans don't feel that rosy, optimistic bunch that they have in the recent years.
I don't think the fans feel...
I can't wait.
I think the fans have at times a likability problem with this team.
What are they going to be like? What are they going to be like in a playoff?
You want to like them so bad. You do. And at just different points in the season, they've given you reasons to be pissed off at them because they've just had a chronic underachieving problem.
Yeah, but these green loonies, I think if you play well, they have a chance to go nuts in the playoffs and be there for you. And be a big part of why, you know, home court could be something special for you if you go on some sort of a run here. But you got to show it to them. I think they'll be ready to go Sunday at 1. I think they will be ready to go, these fans. Because this is what we've been waiting for. The season sucked. Players told you, don't worry. Playoffs. We'll be all right. We'll get there to the playoffs.
And I do put some stock in what Kyrie said yesterday, or 2 days ago now. His comments that we played for you yesterday. I do think that there is a turning of the page of some sort for him that's going on. I know that you want to mock him, and I know you want to talk about how much he, you know, overthinks things and talks too much, but I thought he sort of put everything to bed from the season for him, for at least for the time being, turn the page and get ready for the playoffs that start this weekend. Bruins started the playoffs last night at the Garden. It was not so great. Bad night for the Bruins. We'll continue with your calls on that. We'll get back to the Bruins, their night, and talk Celtics as well throughout the day on Zolak and Bertrand.
Zolak and Bertrand.
That's a 3-inch difference between those two guys.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Everybody, everybody.
Dish to the high slot to Brusk. Handcuff. Here's a breakaway. Marner into the slot. Walks in. Pulled down. And then the puck is glanced in to Brusk. Crashed into the end boards. We're going to have a penalty shot.
It wasn't fun. Causing the turnover there, and then seeing him, on the breakaway, I was just trying to get back, trying to make a play.
So Marner will have the penalty shot. He'll angle over the line left. Now cuts back into the slot. Forehand. Shoots. He scores. He dangled Rask, and it's 2-1 Maple Leafs.
What a beautiful move. Comes in completely under control. Gets Rask to commit, going to his right. Usually there's that one move, and it's the second move. This was a third, maybe even a fourth move by Marner that finished it off.
I put my whole weight on my right foot, and then I just couldn't get there anymore. You know, it was a nice move. Fresh eyes, too, so I should have probably recognized that. But, yeah, good move.
Bruins dropped game one last night at the Garden.
Excellent.
Talk about really no showing for game one.
Excellent breakdown by Bob Beers, though. Like, we had fun with the road broadcast, you know, first hour of the show, but, yeah, for whatever it is. That's a good breakdown. Descriptive as to what happened. Switched his direction twice down. Got him on his back foot. Wrapped it in around him. That's good. Good job, Bob Pierce.
617-779-0985. Dave's in Rhode Island on the Bruins last night. Hi, Dave.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Hi, Dave.
I don't even know what to say about it. It was such a horrible game. I don't know where to even start. I mean, they were so slow, as someone said earlier. I mean, every time there was a puck up for grabs, they got beat out to every puck, even when they had the head start, when they were ahead of someone. And then you get the passing to nowhere, the terrible passing. And, I mean, Tuukka didn't look great. You had the penalty shot that he didn't stop. And then I think there was two breakaways, and he only stopped one of those. It's like, and at that point, I'm saying, gee, at least if we had Halak in the net, I think Halak is better at handling a breakaway than Tuukka. And it's like, I don't know, I'm just kind of disgusted. Spent 3 hours yelling at the TV with my son-in-law.
I don't think you can sit there and say that whole thing's on Tuukka to where, okay, you want Halak in game two. You're getting Tuukka in game two. You're getting Halak in game three regardless. Is it really about how Tuukka plays again? Or if you're down 0-2, do you shake it up a little bit and say, let's take a shot with Halak? Not to say that if he wins that, he stays in. Maybe you go right back to Tuukka. But, and Cassidy was quick last night not to put it on Tuukka. He said, yeah, I'd like to stop one of those breakaways. It'd be nice. But you can't put that on Tuukka. As much as he's crushed him.
I don't think Tuukka was great, but I also don't think he's the problem.
Yeah.
The problem is that you're giving up those breakaways. The problem is you have a dumb penalty that allows for the penalty shot. Those are the problems there. I don't put it on the goalie.
So I know you say, but what more is DeBrus to do there? You know? You kind of have no choice. You know, then he ends up dinging himself out.
Cassidy said he wished he had let him go. After the game, he said he had wished he'd let him go, but he can understand a guy's trying to make a play there. So he excused it, but he said ideally he wished he'd let him go.
Yeah.
Right. It's harder to make the play in the moment, right? Go ahead. Well, you're going to let the guy go, and he goes, and he makes a play, you get beat.
I know. The reporter had said he's already like wasted energy of going two-thirds of the way up the ice, so maybe he's a little bit more.
He's also committed to the right side.
Yeah, not only that, your mind has got to be spinning there in terms of what those moves are going to be approaching the net. You've got to do it in real time.
That cuts the ice off for Tuukka, so off the breakaway. Yeah.
Whereas if you go on a penalty shot, it's you got a minute to regroup.
Wide open.
You've got all the time to think about how you're going to approach it. In the moment, you don't.
Cassidy explained it really well. He said Bergeron, in that situation, would typically just take off one, like Zoe said, one side of the ice. Just commit to one side of the ice. That way Tuukka knows it's coming from half the goal, and that's all he has to worry about. Bergeron's got the other half. So in hindsight, that's what he should have done. He said he would tell DeBrusk after the game. But now he's not at practice today, so.
0-1. Bummer.
617-779-0985. Sam in the car on Rask giving up the penalty shot. Hi, Sam.
Hey, guys. Great show as usual.
Thank you.
I'm pretty much just putting on the same thing you guys have been talking about. I mean, I absolutely agree that Tuukka should play again tomorrow night if he was not the reason for the loss, but he has to challenge that penalty shot, guys. I mean, the Maple Leafs guy, he was in the paint by the time he even shot the puck. I mean, Tuukka just kept backing up and backing up.
He never stopped. He just kept, I know. That's
you got to challenge it. You know,
it's not his style. He doesn't come out of the net. He does not attack and come out of the net in that situation.
Yeah, well, it definitely showed because, I mean, again, he was definitely not the reason why they lost. But, man, I wish he would have just challenged that a little bit more or at all.
Yeah, and you know what, though? It's just not his style. It just isn't. I mean, you know what you're getting there. I think that's what the last caller was referring to, that if Halak was in net, you might see a little bit more of a challenge. You might see him come out a little bit. He's more comfortable doing it than Rask is. Pete in Delaware on the Celtics getting ready for the playoffs. Pete.
Hey, guys. How you both doing today?
Good.
Good, Pete.
Hey, so listen, I believe Gordon Hayward, like you guys, I think he should be starting. One, he's earned it, but two, I think, you know, he's also proven he's a good passer. He's very intelligent with the ball. He'll find Kyrie. My concern is if you put Jaylen Brown in that starting lineup, it kind of affects the chemistry a little bit that, as far as what Kyrie likes to shoot and I just think Marcus was good because he didn't shoot as much. I think if you put Jalen in there, it could change that chemistry. Yeah.
Don't you think that maybe Stevens could potentially look at this too? If I bring Gordon as a sixth, he's first off, that's how he's actually going to get his looks and get more looks at it as opposed to the actual start?
Yeah, you're right.
I'm with you. I mean, I just think automatically that name and how he's played, he should be in the starting lineup. But
I'm concerned with the chemistry as far as how he's Jalen. Like, say it's Jaylen Brown. I mean, he's I don't know. I'm more concerned with the chemistry with Kyrie. Everything, to me, revolves around Kyrie in the playoffs. And I just think Gordon maybe he's a better facilitator than Jaylen Brown. You're probably right. I just, everything with me is making sure you know, everything revolves around Kyrie right now because he's our best player. So that's the way I look at it.
All right.
Kyrie is their best player. Kyrie is their best player by far.
Well, it's not whether Kyrie should be on the court or not. It's just, you know, who's fifth, who's sixth.
And to go back to his comments the other day, I just love his approach to this. His
bunch
approach. Yes, you mock him.
Bunch
you mock
bull.
Him. You do. You mock him. You mock
talk
Kyrie.
Too long.
You're mocking Kyrie.
I do. He shouldn't talk that
and
long.
What did he say? He said, we're going to get to the playoffs, and I got to just be focused on putting the damn ball in the net.
How's the season
because
been? It's been a bunch of bull bleeds.
That
Stop.
Is what
Done.
I do
Good.
Best.
Yeah.
That's what I do best is what he said. Alex at Cohasset on Tuukka Rask last night. Hi, Alex.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to make a comment last night. I mean, no one could put that game on Tuukka last night. However, Cassie's right. You need to show up when the moments are brightest the team's relying on you. And Tuukka, he just eerily reminds me of Steven Guskowski in that his stats are there. He's consistent. But then when you need him most, it just always is a glaring error in his aspect. And I can't help but make that correlation to Steven Guskowski. And also, if you watch Tuukka on that breakaway, he looks like a cat with a laser pointer just watching that puck go back and forth.
It's like our sing-along.
There is a comparison to be drawn there a little bit. You know, is he clutch? Does he have the clutch gene?
Oh, I thought you meant by the cat and the laser pointer.
Not the cat and the laser pointer. Let's hear from the coach of the Bruins, Bruce Cassidy, his comments on Rask after the game last night. Also, maybe his comments on David Pastrnak as well. We'll hear all of that on the way. 90 seconds away. No commercial.